I'm very pleased to welcome to Fremantle Shipping News two members of the Fremantle Carnevale Board. We have Scarlett Keener and Dodgy Steve, who seems to have a sort of dodgy track record in Aboriginal heritage work in Western Australia, and I'm not sure how he got onto this board, but perhaps we can find out more. Welcome to both of you. How are you, Scarlett Keener?
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Buon Carnevale, Mike.
Buon Carnevale a tutti.
Oh, what's this? Official music?
This is the tarantella of the Carnival of Monte Marano outside Naples. Extraordinary, one of the greatest, the best carnivals in the whole of southern Italy, where they walk through the streets every day for a week or two, accompanied by this incredible soundtrack.
Wind it down now. So that comes from Naples?
Comes from a town outside Naples called Monte Marano, which is in the province of Avellino, up in the mountains. It's very cold. When I was there in February 2003 for my doctoral research work in anthropology, I remember feeling very, very tired and very cold because it's up in the mountains. But even despite that, you know, the vibrancy of that beautiful tune that works its way into your head over the week of the festivities.
So it was in that part of the world where Stefano became Dodgy Steve, I take it.
I think Dodgy Steve predated that, actually.
Now, the two of you are mixed up in, more seriously, what is happening in Fremantle shortly, and that is Fremantle's Carnevale. Scarlett Keener?
Yes, Michael, we are entangled in many different ways, and we're planning much mischief, and Carnival is about driving out the evil spirits, and there are a lot of them about. You would have noticed yourself recently.
Well, coming into the old customs house this morning, I tripped over at least seven.
Okay, well, they're out and about, and we're going to play up a little bit. We've got my character. She's a mischievous, crude, uncouth person.
Crude and uncouth?
Revolting. Yes.
All at once?
Yes.
Revolting woman of Fremantle.
A proud member of the honorary Revolting Women of Fremantle.
Honorary?
Yes. And I have had many privileges in my time in this role, and castrating the mayor has been a highlight. Over 3 years.
Brad Pettit.
Yes, I was going to say.
He really hammed it up. He was excellent in this role. And now that we have a new mayor, Hannah Fitzharding, we've got a challenge on our hand because castration being difficult.
Presents a technical problem.
And
really,
by the way, Michael, I was a little bit struck by the fact you're not wearing a tie, because we could have, in fact, enacted a symbolic castration with you, but
I must have had some advance warning, and that's why I left.
Okay.
I didn't know which tie to select, so I left them all at home.
Well, there's a shortage of ties in Fremantle, and we had to go around. The dress etiquette is a bit shabby, I'd say.
It's very shabby, fortunately.
And we had to go around the charity shops buying up the ties.
Did you find one in a charity shop?
We found many,
and
we've reused them because recycling is an integral part of our carnival tradition and costuming.
I remember one of our German board members from the Rhineland area, where there's a very strong carnival tradition, suggesting that we could overcome that technical problem of having a woman mare by simply tarring and feathering her the way they do in the Rhineland area usually.
Well, it's the possibilities are endless, really. But let me ask you, Dodgy Steve, you actually, quite seriously, are something of an authority on Carnevale. Tell our listeners who might not be familiar with the process, where it originated, what it's about, and you've already started to indicate how it involves poking fun at sacred cows and honourable mayors and mighty politicians and captains of industry and all that sort of stuff.
Well, I think there are a couple of historical elements in Carnival that have all kind of come together. There's a very fascinating research project carried out by the Museum of Trentine Popular Traditions in Trent in the north of Italy, where they've tried to answer your question, actually, by every carnival time going to small town carnivals in countries all over Europe, you know, Poland, France, Spain, Italy, Germany, and documenting the really archaic local carnivals. Not like, you know, the Carnival of Rio or the Carnival of Venice, which are, you know, much better known, but they're kind of globalised, rather consumerist sort of carnivals. But so going back to the roots, and their argument in their Carnival King of Europe project is that carnival is actually the oldest liturgy in European culture, and probably may even go back to the Neolithic period.
So it's not confined to the Romance language countries of Spain and Italy and the like?
No, not at all.
It extends right through Europe. And where's it? Where else in the world has it found its way to?
Okay, so it's been diffused through colonisation to other parts of the world, notably Latin America. And so what happened really in Latin America, probably I think beginning in the Caribbean area where there was unfortunately there was a whole nasty slave trade there. So the French and Spanish and British notables, no, not the British, because of course the carnival was virtually wiped out in Britain by the Protestant Reformation, but the Spanish and Portuguese and French slave owners, I guess, would have been celebrating carnival in their, you know, lovely drawing rooms and so forth. And then the slaves themselves caught on and took it up and made it their own. And you can see that today in the extraordinary imagery from the Carnival of Haiti, the Voodoo Carnival of Haiti, that the descendants of those African slaves have, and they've kind of turned the colonial carnival on its head by making, dressing up as mock policemen or soldiers and so forth. Remarkable.
So they've turned, if you like, the social structure on its head.
Yeah, and that's integral to the whole idea of carnival. But I should just briefly get back to the origin. So the basic origin is it takes place in the depths of winter, when everything is dead, and the town gets invaded by often a kind of a wild man or a wild animal who creates a big uproar in the town and turns everything topsy-turvy.
A devil.
Sometimes, often, a devil figure, yeah. But the idea is to kickstart the crops, to kickstart the spring. So it's a fertility ritual. And often you'll get, in the really archaic carnivals, there'll be things like a mock ploughing of the main village square and so forth. So it's a pagan animistic fertility cult originally.
Oh, it's becoming more and more interesting by the moment.
Yeah. There are other dimensions to that too. That you get the carnival and Lent. So the Catholics trying to control
Catholic Church trying to control the festival
carnival,
right.
And so in the lead up to Easter time in Lent, people are not supposed to eat meat. They're supposed to be very pious, go to church every day. So carnival's kind of meant to end on Shrove Tuesday.
Well, good luck with that. let me just go back to Scala Kino. This has been going on for some time, and you board members have been involved, as I understand it, for some time. What have been some of the themes in recent years? Of course, everything's been interrupted by the pandemic.
Well, we had a mask mandate at
Carnival mask mandate
at last year's, and it was really looking tenuous whether we were going to go back into lockdown last February. And so we organised three events on the day, and we managed to pull them off, and I think we could probably make the claim we were one of the few carnival events that were hosted around the world last February, I think it was.
World leaders?
Yeah, absolutely. And we are pioneering in the sense that the carnival that we have constructed is very much referencing traditions from around the world, because we are very intent on dismantling the monocultural mindset in Australia. So we've been, given our cultural and linguistic diversity, we've been able to tap into all our networks and host a carnival event that brings in traditions from around the world. So it's pretty unique.
So this year, what sort of influences do you think, without giving anything away, we might experience?
Yeah, well, we've got our fossil fuel...
Fossil fuel, now that's hard to say.
Folly event theme this year. And as I mentioned before, the evil spirits that are lurking and with threats of climate change, and we've got some dominant players out there who are really slow to...
creating a lot of methane emissions.
The methane emissions are very much on our mind this year.
So you want to be not downwind.
Exactly. And when people arrive at our Fibonacci event, they will be monitored for their methane emissions. And they may have a ticket, and that's great, but if they don't pass the Geiger counter test
or whatever it might be.
Yes, we've got
a special methane measuring device.
And we've got some carbon capture and storage.
Yes, so Robbie Lang, the wonderful proprietor of the Fibonacci Centre, has come up with a brilliant idea of capturing the methane emissions from participants in carbon this year at Fibonacci Centre and sequestering them under the Fibonacci Centre, and also going off the grid so that Fibonacci Centre will, you know, be self-sustaining through methane capture.
Should be able to sell those as offsets.
Exactly.
I think you're
right on the money there, yes. Michael. Offsets are very topical and about to be big news made about safeguard mechanism.
Create your own offset exchange with methane already in little cardboard capsules, I suspect.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah,
yes.
Not radioactive, but...
But methane active.
I think we will be offering... If participants exceed the methane emissions limits, we will offer them the possibility of making a donation to either the two major political parties and slap over the wrist from the West Australian government regulator. And
Which I get all the time.
Well, so when you walked in, I thought you guys were just joking, but now I realise you're deadly serious. Now, tell me this, a few facts and stats, Scalacina, a few facts and stats. Dates. When's this happening? How many events are there? Where do people go? Does it cost them anything? And as Diana Fisher used to say, what colour does it all come in?
In the lead-up, we've got at Fibonacci this Saturday, we've got an artist-led workshop at the Fibonacci Centre from 10 to 1.
On Saturday.
And on Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. So people can help with the effigy, make costumes...
Effigy.
The
this could be
mystery Queen of Carnivale 2023.
King of Carnivale.
Well, I'm sorry, but the revolting women of Fremantle have taken over this year.
Well,
just like
I think that's old news.
Yes, it's long overdue, Michael.
I think we've got a rather revolting woman, not a Fremantle, who's going to be the Queen.
Is that right?
Yes.
Watch this space.
Yeah.
Well, Michael, that's
Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
Fibonacci Centre.
Mm.
From what time?
10 to 1 on Saturday and 1 to 4 on Sunday.
And you'll be preparing, as well as having fun doing it, and you can eat out there at the same time on Saturday night at the cafe. But what's the big thing? When does the carnival happen?
On the 19th of February at the Fibonacci Centre, but before that we have a ramble. We gather.
Masked Mystery Ramble.
And we're gathering.
Tell us about that, Dodgy.
3:30.
Yes, well, Masked Mystery Ramble. Carnival mask mandate. Yeah, we'd like people to follow the carnival tradition and have a carnival costume and mask. Because in Spain, during carnival, if somebody recognises you, you have to buy them a drink. So it's very important to be properly
recognisable.
Yeah, unrecognisable. Yeah. Masked Mystery Ramble with the Drummers for Climate Action, and we might have a. I think we're hoping there might be a bit of street theatre outside the Fremantle markets
Mark
at about.
Redding.
Possibly.
Very wedded to fossil fuels.
Yes. Two people, really, I think.
Two?
Yeah.
Oh, that could be
so the mock wedding, the carnival mock wedding is a typical feature of traditional carnivals, and we've done that a few times. So we've married, for instance, Twiggy Forrest off to Gina Reinhardt in the culture a couple of years back. We can't really release details of who the
Queen of Carnival.
No,
this
well, we have to come along and find her.
I'd say so, yeah.
Now,
and
how many,
and
how
then
many...
there's the big ticket event at Fibonacci from 5:30 with Junkadelic Brass Band, their 21st birthday. Junkadelic have been fantastic supporters of Carnival from inception in 2009. And so they're celebrating their 21st with Prima Donna and Nikki D'Agostino, the great piano accordion genius, and I think the Queen of Carnival is going to be announced and make the traditional Carnival Manifesto declaration.
Oh, look. Now, just remind us all again, what date is that and what time?
19th. Saturday the 19th. Masked Mystery Ramble from 4 in Wallilup Court, King Square. Oh, 3:30. Sorry, meeting at 3:30 King Square in your mask and so forth. And then the actual big ticket event, Fibonacci Centre. Get your tickets. They're selling fast. And that's Fibonacci Centre from 5:30.
So if you want to be in the Ramble, where should you turn up to go from go to woe?
Wallyup Court, King Square.
Square.
Mm. We'll be walking down the mall and along the Capuchins
Street. It's a mystery ramble.
It's prone to improvisation.
Certainly, yes. a possibility that you pass the mall.
We could be there. Yeah,
it's right in the centre of Fremantle.
We'll be square.
So you'll be. And how long? Tell the folks how long, if they joined everybody in Wallyup Court, how long would they spend on the ramble?
It's a mystery, but
approximately
probably an hour and 15 minutes.
That's pretty imprecise. That gives them a rough idea, and if they haven't turned up earlier to make masks and be part of the
this weekend, can they
turn up with their own masks and just flexibly join the procession?
We think of everything,
absolutely.
Michael. We're very organised and sophisticated.
And people can get their own masks, for instance, from Toy Town down the road, or Party Town on Stirling Highway, Claremont, or you could also try, I think, Toy World in Fremantle.
Yeah. It's far better to make your own, though, because
better to make your own, of course. Yeah.
We're just importing a lot of cheap crap from China, and the tradition, we're losing those traditions of making your own costume, it inexpensive, and recycling, so we encourage people to go to charity shops.
I saw one of the leading news articles this morning in relation to Fremantle's Carnival, and that's whether or not there's going to be a spy balloon over the top of the whole thing.
Well, a spy balloon. Yeah, and that brings us to our questions about litigation.
Yes, because Scarlett Kinney, you did pay the Fremantle Carnival Authority defo insurance,
that was
didn't
your
you?
Job.
What? I thought you were going to do that.
No, you were going to do it.
You mean we've got no defo coverage for 2023 Frio Carnival? What are we going
to
do?
Well, we need to cancel.
We'll be ruined.
Well,
because
that's a very good question.
Because satire's fundamental to
Carnival.
If
we were in Italy, we'd be okay.
We'd be okay in Italy because there is a Carnival defo defence, which is, in Italian, it's a carnivale ogni scherzo vale.
Well,
at Carnival, if any joke is okay.
Well, it's true because it all in Italy starts with not paying for your parking tickets. You park in the piazza, you leave your car there, and then you head out and you say whatever you like. Fremantle, an interesting question about the application of these rules. But in the past, Carnival was picked on, you said, the former mayor, Brad Pettit, now in the upper house for the Greens here. Who are some of the other identities who have suffered at the hand? You mentioned Gina and Twiggy.
Twiggy Forrest, Clive Palmer.
Clive Palmer, I can hardly believe it.
Julian Assange.
Julian Assange.
Clive Palmer didn't sue us, isn't it, really? Because he does like suing people.
He has done, but you need to be a premier to be sued, I think.
Oh, okay. And I'm just trying to think, who are the other ones? Wilson Tuckey, very memorable, King of Carnival.
Ironbar Tuckey.
Wilson Ironbar Tuckey, Colin Barnett, and we married Colin Barnett off to Rowena the Roate White Elephant. It's a life-size, Donald Trump.
ScoMo
ScoMo, yep.
ScoMo 2 years running, actually.
Yeah. That's well deserved. I'm not sure why you bothered with
and,
Trump.
Putin, of course.
Unfortunately, last year, the ghastly invasion of Ukraine
coincided with Carnival, so Putin did finish it. So we haven't been sued yet, Sally, but maybe...
Maybe this is the year.
Oh, no, well, we understand you know a bit about DEFO law.
I know nothing about DEFO law. You'll have to consult those in the back row of the procession to see how you're going.
Yeah. It's very challenging because we've had previous carnivals where we've had to think carefully about injurious intention.
Yes.
Such as when the offal was thrown into the...
Ah, yes. Now, that was an interesting incident with Wilson Tuckey, so who was the 2010 King of Carnival. And just to explain to listeners the procedure in southern Italy, so the King of Carnival is appointed to kind of preside over the festivities. And in Spain, he's called Canestos Re de los Pocos Altos, the King of Carnival, the King of the Silly People, literally. So he ramps the whole thing up and encourages people to do all kinds of silly things and presides over this. But then on the last day of Carnival, that's Shrove Tuesday, he actually gets put on trial and becomes a scapegoat, and he gets blamed for all the unwanted pregnancies and drunkenness and blah, 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 and gets put on trial by a ridiculous carnival tribunal and often put to death or, set on fire or something. Unfortunately, we've never been able
to... That's serious, isn't it? Put to death?
Well, but you need a scapegoat, and you need to wind up carnival before Lent begins. The following day, Ash Wednesday, everyone's going to church and recounting all the sins they've done during carnival.
You have to have expelled or whatever, exorcised the evil spirits.
Precisely. So Wilson Tuckey, unfortunately, in the 2010 carnival, it was very sad, he overindulged a bit during carnival, he overate, and he in the carnival ball at Culture, he started complaining of stomach pain. So we were able to call on the services of a Catalan doctor called Dr. Malpractice, who happened to be in the audience with his bag of medical equipment.
And his scalpel.
We asked Dr. Malpractice to examine the King of Carnival, and he advised that he was going to have to operate on the spot. Mm. And so he produced this rather savage-looking cutting implement and began operating. And then I think it might have been Scarlacchino, actually.
I had to source the offal from the sponsor we had, the Marchesani Butchers, but I had to be very careful that the offal that was thrown into the audience didn't injure anyone.
This, in fact, was the entrails of the evil fellow.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. So were they voluminous, like meters and meters?
Yes. So we take these things very seriously about not causing harm to animals or audience members.
But they were vegan entrails.
Yes.
and so poor old Mr. Tuckey died on the operating table, unfortunately, is the sad lot of every King of Carnival.
He would have been happy. They'd had a lot to eat and drink beforehand.
Indeed. Yeah. But there was another interesting matter, actually, which is one of Michael's former students actually offered to defend Mr. Tuckey in the trial of Carnival.
Oh,
and
very nice.
And he's a former student of Michael's administrative law class at ANU. Subsequently became a due to Michael's expert tuition, subsequently became a barrister of the ALRM, Aboriginal Legal
Rights. This was a class on Carnivale that I was giving at the time. I'm glad to know that it's had all of those fruits.
This former student, who works for the Aboriginal Legal Rights Movement of South Australia, he later wrote a letter to Mr. Tuckey advising him that he'd accepted that brief to defend Wilson Tuckey on the capital charges, unsuccessfully, unfortunately, and asked Mr. Tuckey if he'd like to make a donation to Aboriginal Legal Rights Movement of South Australia.
Well, I won't ask if he got a reply. But tell me, how long have you guys and the board been running Fremantle Carnival? How many years is it now?
2009. We'd like to think of ourselves as a alternative government, really, which is why we coined the term the People's Republic of Fremantle. And during Carnival, of course, we're the ones in charge. And of course, people like Hannah Fitzharding or Brad Pettit or Simone McGurk or Josh Wilson are sort of subjected to ridicule.
It's wonderful that you do it, and but it's happening again now. And there'll be a link to Fremantle Shipping News, a story from the previous one.
Got to release a lot of tension.
Well, that's very important.
Kind of as a release valve, and there's a lot of tension around.
Well, there is.
And methane.
No, well, and methane. There won't be any sheep, I don't think, in sight.
No, well, let's hope not. But there is confession, Michael. If you'd like to come along Tuesday night. I think it's a show of Tuesday.
I think the confessions are more likely to be Ash Wednesday. King's Square, outside St. John's Church. Yeah, so people usually have quite a long list of sins committed to
Bring your pets. Pets are allowed.
Pets.
Yes, it's child-friendly event.
Except for cats. I don't think you're allowed to have cats in Fremantle. Well, they don't have to be feral. They just have to be cats.
As long as they have a bell.
Well, maybe. But it does strike me, Dodgy Steve, there's talk of the Australian government appointing a poet laureate in the future. We've never had one. It seems to me that there ought to be a court jester come king of, queen of carnival appointed by the...
A lot of our script writers are poets. Great writers.
Well, I think it's very important to perhaps have an unveiling and an appointment, perhaps by the city government, in future.
Well, in fact, I think there's already a precedent. There's already a precedent for that in New Zealand Prime Minister Helen Clark's appointment of the Wizard of Christchurch as and issued him with a passport made out as Wizard of New Zealand.
New Zealand's have lots of good ideas. We wouldn't want to be seen to be pinching from them, though. Now. You've got a message for the people of Fremantle. You want them to turn up in droves.
Absolutely.
So
get out on the streets.
Once again, getting the message out to them. Out on the streets. They can turn up at the appointed hour while you're at court. All the details with the story.
3:30,
And what else do you want them to do?
Buy a ticket
to the wonderful Fibonacci Centre Carnival event on Sunday night, the 19th.
It'll be a great night, and probably no alcohol, but it'll be good fun.
Excess is very much part of the carnival tradition.
Excess,
isn't it, Dodgy?
All right.
That's why you have the confessions on Ash Wednesday.
Yes.
What you do and what you say are three different things.
Yes, that's right. And there's always, you know, one of the highlights has been taking confession from Mayor Brad Pettit, but also the vicar.
The vicar made a carnival confession as well.
Extorting.
I think, what was the name of the sister who was there was a nun taking confession.
Mary Muckett Up,
but she would be bound by the secret of the confessional and not be able to disclose Brad Pettit's sins.
It gave him penance. He had to not salivate.
Wow.
When we gave him a lint chocolate.
I thought that Sister Muckett Up gave another person a chocolate, and he had to watch them eating the chocolate.
That's an unusually cruel punishment.
Yes, that's very much within the spirit of carnival.
I only have
cruelty
one
and
question,
mischief.
And that is, you know, how many carbon miles did that piece of lint chocolate produce?
I think the Fremantle Carnival Authority has only recently become more conscious of carbon emissions.
Yes.
Sounds like a very woke authority to me, Dodgy Steve.
Tony Abbott, he set us back big time, you know, with that.
It's strange that Tony Abbott was never a king of carnival, really, isn't it?
Well, that's entirely understandable.
Mm.
He might have seen the funny side of it.
I think he'd be a perfect candidate because, as I said, you know, the Spanish thing of the King of Carlo is the king of the silly people.
Yes. And so one year we did the Chirigota, where it comes from Cadiz, where
southern Spain,
where this is an idea that I had, where people draw on gossip and events that have happened the whole year leading up to Carnival, and they write original songs and perform them in the bars and move from bar to bar. And so we did that here two years running.
I like that idea.
Yeah, and the winner of the inaugural Chirigotta was Mike Byrne. And
oh, was he?
His song was about the gentrification of Fremantle,
where all the dagos gone.
Oh, right.
And referencing the America's Cup and the fact that prices became unaffordable and the many families had to migrate east
to
or south.
Southern suburbs.
Southern suburbs.
But there's a lovely description. There's a lovely description here of that idea behind the Chirigotta and behind Carnival. And it's a Carnival poet from Cadiz in southern Spain commented as follows: Carnival is a newspaper. It gives the news of what happened during the year. It criticizes. It comments. It concerns itself with politics. Carnival is made by the poor people. Perhaps it attacks most the political bosses in power, anybody who did something wrong.
That's a really great summary. In a sense, being quite serious about it, in an intellectual sense, and the mechanism is satire. It's fun. It's dressing up to pass that serious message on. And you've mentioned both of you the fossil fuel. Foolery, which if anyone can say it, they get a free drink on the night. It's a tongue twister.
Fossil fuel foolery.
All right, you get three drinks. Look, it's been lovely talking to you too, and we really are honoured at the Shipping News to have the board members here tonight. People can go to various forms of social media to also discover what's going on. I think you're on Facebook.
We are. The Carnivale of the People's Republic of Fremantle.
And there'll be this story, and people, once they've heard you talking about this, will be excited to dress up and get along. Put any sort of mask or hat, particularly smart ones that you...
Dress as a lump of coal.
Dresses a lump of coal. There's an idea. It's really encouraging people.
It won't hurt you, Michael.
Well, all right. Well, on that nervous note, we'll end this, and people can look forward to seeing the coverage shortly. The photographs, which are magnificent, and as I say, I'll provide the link to the previous. Ramble through Fremantle and people get an idea of just what happened then and what's likely to happen again. But do we have some music to finish on? Well, on that note, thank you very much, Scarlett Keener and Dodgy.
That was so silly.